Could you talk about the land here? Like what, because this is radio, people can't always see it. Could you describe what it's like here to give people an idea of?
Well, the average elevation here is that we live at is around 7,300 feet, and it's mountains, steep mountains, a lot of dense timber, and there's a lot of springs. There's a lot of springs that come up, and they all feed into this river, the Rio Pueblo, which runs right through the Pueblo here, right down the middle of the Picaries Reservation, pretty much. And it's we have a lot of ponderosa pine up in the higher elevations. We've got aspens, blue spruce, various different types of fir trees. Down in the lower hills, we've got a lot of juniper, pinon, and so that's. And then the bottom land has been farmed for years. And right now we've developed a lot of that into bison habitat, and that's where we keep our bison herd, is down in the valley along the river there.
And is there anything that you see in just New Mexico that comes from, I mean, that's direct, like a festival or something that's traditionally New Mexican that's, and I know that's like a really broad,
Well, there again, it goes back to the pueblos themselves, you know. I mean, there, it's tradition that goes way back. You know, I kind of get the feeling you're talking more about the Spanish tradition, but we have the Native American traditions that there are harvest dances, there are things that are done at the certain times of years. You know, that mark certain events, and just like you said, harvest festivals that people have. Well, you know, most pueblos have their harvest dances and celebrate their harvests.
And I guess a lot of people are invited. I mean, those are people are invited to those. No, I mean, people outside of the community.
Well, some of them, it just depends on the pueblo itself, you know. Here at Pickery's, you know, there's harvest celebrations, harvest dances, but they're closed. So that's as far as I want to elaborate on
Right, that's why I didn't
that.
want to ask like about specific, I mean, I know because they don't have, that doesn't have to be talked about, on the radio, I guess, is why I didn't want to ask specifically about that sort of thing. So yeah, I guess I was just wondering if there was anything to that like either from the Spanish tradition or the Anglo people like to that they can relate to know that, because I feel like to me that seems like a problem, that they the people who move in here they don't and I'm not from here, I'm from Oklahoma, but a lot of people we don't relate to the land, or we don't see that we have any relationship to the land. We just, our food comes from the grocery store, and a lot of people forget that we have our big four-wheel drive vehicles so we can get through all the snow or the mud or the so I guess that's what I was, but yeah, definitely the and the Pueblos have the festival ceremonies that relate to the land, and some of them, like you say, are open to the broader public, and I guess that's yeah. Sorry, I am just explaining my but is there anything else that you want to talk about? Because I think that as far as like what I know that I wanted to cover, that's I know that those are the things. Is there anything else that you want to talk about?
Well, as you know, like I mentioned earlier, you know, some of the regulations that are, you know, coming down from the federal government these days, you know, and it's impacting us small farming operations, ranching operations, and you know, it just seems like it's a never-ending struggle, you know, with the bureaucracy that you know, feels like, you know, they need to, how would I say it, you know, stick their nose into our business.
Is that with, like, the tagging or the registering of all animals?
Well, you know, we have that, you know, the, you know, premises ID and animal identification. And there again, you know, we're raising bison for our own food source, and we don't really see any of these bison from here going across the country, you know, and see any reason why they need to monitor them. And they've moved that back now. They don't even know at this point whether they're going to even follow through with that. So, you know, I don't know where it's at, but, you know, we won't be doing much of anything with that until, you know, they absolutely demand it from us, I guess. Mm-hmm. You know, there's other regulations that are impacting us, like with the slaughtering facilities around the state. Most of these in the state are state-certified facilities, and most of them are small operations. A lot of them are family-run businesses, and right now we're seeing EPA and, you know, come around with a lot of water quality standards that they want these slaughtering facilities to adhere to. And, you know, that's fine. You know, that's, you know, we know that there's certain standards that have to be met, but at the same time, they're just coming in and saying, you have to put this in, you have to put that in, you have to do this and you have to do that. And they're not giving any advice on it. They're a regulatory type of thing, you know, and they're not there to offer any assistance. And, you know, there again, you know, these are a lot of small family operated businesses that do need assistance, you know, that we and it impacts us on you know, the small ranchers, the small farmers, because we want to sell a product, we want to sell it directly to the public. But yet, when they put those types of regulations into place, you know, it drives these small slaughter facilities out of business, and so therefore we have to haul our animals an extra 200 miles to another facility, and, you know, they're facing the same problems also that the last one that we were using. So, you know, it drives our prices up. It drives everything up. You know, or the fuel prices that we have to spend, you know, just to get the animals there. You know, so it really impacts everybody on down the line. And those are things that if they're going to put these regulations into place, we would like to see them at least subsidize some of these businesses. You know, there's plenty of federal money out there. Mm-hmm. It's just the way that they choose to spend that money, and we see money wasted all the time. We're taxpayers. A lot of people think just because we're Native American, we live on the reservation, that we don't pay taxes. Well, we do pay taxes, and, you know, we want to see some of our tax money going towards something that's going to benefit us, not something that's going to benefit somebody over in Iraq or Iran or whatever country it is with that they're spending all this money. They send more money over to some of these countries than our whole health, Native American health programs see in a year. They send that much money in a day. And these are the things that we're not happy with at all. And, you know, of course we have the Republicans to thank for that, and our President George Bush, you know, with his redneck mentality. So, you know, those are some of the things. And you know, even with USDA, just recently I was told that now we have, in order for us to receive drought relief funds, that we have to submit a farm calendar. And, you know, it just seems like they're just adding more and more things. And to me, it just looks like they're just trying to discourage these people. I don't know how many small ranchers or farmers around here actually keep a diary, a day-to-day diary of what they've done, but this is what USDA is asking for now in order to receive these funds for drought relief. And so, you know, it just seems to me like it's they're just looking for other ways to discourage people so that they can take that money and put it over into something else. You know, they don't have to worry about us. They just do away with us. They would rather see these big agribusiness come in and take over and, you know, with all their money and all this and you know, they can take control of everything and USDA doesn't have to worry so much about the small-time producer.
Do you see a lot of agribusiness coming in or feel like a lot of the regulations that just like, I mean, like you said, it seems like they're trying to discourage the small farmer from or rancher from doing his work so that they can put more money into other things. But do you feel like the agribusiness is putting as much pressure on either USDA or the small ranchers and farmers?
Yeah, well, we're not seeing a lot of big agribusiness up here. I think it's because, you know, one of the things is, you know, the growing season is real short here and it's real rough terrain, but we are seeing that happen all over the country. And being a part of the Intertribal Bison Cooperative, we see a lot of other tribes that are impacted by agribusiness, especially a lot of tribes that are in the plain states in the Midwest and you know, up north in the big on the big cattle ranches, you know, in those areas. And even down south here in New Mexico, you know, there's a lot of big cattle outfits. And there again, you know, we've got Ted Turner, you know, who owns a couple of large land-based ranches here, you know. You know, but we've never had any, you know, he's never approached us about trying to help us, you know, with our buffalo herds or any other tribe here as far as that goes, you know. I mean, he's got enough money. He could use that as a tax write-off and, you know, he would be okay, you know. I mean, I'm not here to sit here and bash Ted Turner, but, you know, I mean, you know, he is a big player in this country and in this agribusiness world, so.
I know he has, like, beefalo, like the crossbred buffalo with the cow. Y'all have the bison, no?
Yeah, as far as I'm concerned, and I think as far as most of my colleagues in the co-op are concerned, you know, that's unethical. You know, I mean, to do something like that is not right. You know, it's just going against everything that nature
right.
is provided for us. So,
and I know that it's not all beefalo, but I know some of it is, so, but I don't know how they would stop them from, like,
well,
continuing
to... there again, you know, it's their private property, those are their animals, and I guess they can do whatever they want to with them, as long as their conscience allows it, but as far as I'm concerned, it's totally unethical.
I agree.